over this river I go, and safe I shall be in beautiful heaven I know. Well, I'm glad I can know that. I have that assurance. I'm not just thinking on it. It's not think religion. It's not something that I dreamed up. It's not pie in the sky, hopeful or wishful thinking, but I'm glad I can know it. I can have assurance of it. I praise the Lord for that. Thank God for the good singing this morning. Didn't the choir do a good job this morning? Just showing out. I mean, it is good singing, and I appreciate it. And it's hard to beat them kind of songs, ain't it? I mean, songs about going home, songs about serving Jesus, songs about trusting the Lord, songs about the grace of God, songs about His blood, songs about the King. I mean, it's hard to beat that kind of stuff. It's good stuff, and I'm thankful for it. When God saves you, you'll fall in love with the songs of Zion. I mean, you'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Fall in love with the songs of Zion. Learn to love them. Amen. And I thank God for that. It feeds my soul. Doesn't just entertain my flesh. It feeds my soul, the songs of Zion do. Thrills me. Matter of fact, tell you the truth, makes me want to preach. Amen. And singing like that this morning, help a preacher preach. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I feel the need to go back this morning again to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. We spent some time there in the last several weeks, and we preached in the first part of the chapter, the first 20 or so verses, really throughout the chapter, preached on this matter of unity, the unity of the believer. We preached on the oneness we have with Christ. We talked then about the purpose of the unity that God has put in the church and the tools and so forth that He gave us to achieve that. But then in verse 32, there's this very special verse that deserves our attention this morning for the message in verse 32. And that's what I want to preach, if the Lord will help me, this morning from that one verse of the Scripture this morning from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32. If you're able and willing to stand with us, I would certainly invite you to do so. And we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord together this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, the Word of God says, "And be ye kind one to another." You know, it'd help some folks if they'd just get that part of the verse down and just learn to be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, you ever notice, say, some folks just ain't nice? You ever paid attention to that? There's some people just flat out mean and crusted over. And it'd do you well to remember that the Bible said to be kind one to another. There's a lot of folks that I know that are kind, but they're not this kind, amen? They're the kind that you don't like to be around. They're the kind you can't enjoy their presence. They're the kind that you cannot enjoy their fellowship. They're the kind that's mean all the time. Amen. It'd do us well to learn to be kind one to another. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. God, help us to have a forgiving spirit toward others instead of that old spirit of malice and envy and strife and meanness. And it'd do us well to have a forgiving heart, even as God, even as God. How often are we to forgive? How long are we to tolerate? How forgiving are we to be? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Preached a few weeks ago Wednesday night, those questions in the Bible. How oft shall I forgive my brother? How oft shall he trespass against me? And shall I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said, "Nay, but I say unto you, until 70 times seven." And if you're multiplying that out, you miss the whole point of what Jesus said. Amen. I mean, it's a matter of being long-suffering, forgiving even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. I tell you, the Lord's forgiven us time and time and time and time and time again. And He's been patient with us, and we're to treat one another with that same kind of long-suffering, tenderness and patience, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You can be seated this morning. I thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. I made mention in our reading these several things around this phrase, but there's a word in this verse that I want to take this morning and try to preach on. He said, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." I want to preach this morning on tenderness, or on being tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. You know, we're living in a world filled with hard-hearted people. A world filled with people of a hard heart. toward God, toward one another, toward sin, toward the Savior, toward sinners. We're living in a world of people that are hard-hearted. It's often been said, and maybe accurately, of me that I'm a hard preacher. I've had folks say that you preach hard. You preach hard physically, preach hard against sin, preach hard about the devil, preach hard in warning others about sin, and I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed to be called an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone Baptist preacher. I'm not ashamed of that, friend. But I'll tell you, I've heard of some men that preached hard that were also hard-hearted. Amen. And it's of no value to us to have hard preachers and hard preaching if they also preach with a hard heart. Amen. And it help us all as saints of God, whether from the pulpit under the pew, though we may be hard towards sin, though, my friend, we may be firm in our stand, though we may be consistent and should be in how we live before God and how we carry our lives and the way that we try to stay true unto thus saith the word of the Lord. But if we are to really do that, we've also got to do it from a soft heart. We've got to do it from a spirit of tenderness. Amen. We've got to do it with love in our souls. And so often, friend, so often people have a hardness of heart. Do you know the reason why the disciples of our Lord could not understand how that God was working and how that the Lord calmed the sea? But because of the hardness of their heart, the men marveled for these things, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. That's what the word of the Lord says. I wonder, do you forget about the miracles of God because of the hardness of your heart? Do you forget about God and His work and His favor and His love and His pity toward you because of the hardness of your heart? Do you forget about how God saves you in the midst of your sin, how He found you when you were in the gutter, how He cleans you when there was nothing but nastiness in your life, how He changed you for time and eternity? If you forget those things, you'll get hard in your heart. And God wants to make us tender, friend. He wants to make us tender. Oh, God, help us in this ain't all in thy line. But I want to share this. If you're going to have a cube steak, and one thing that makes it so good is that you've tenderized that steak before it's been prepared. I'm going to tell you how they tenderize it. I don't know if some of you realize this. It's done with a cubing hammer. They take a hammer, lay it up on a cutting block, lay the meat on a cutting block, and just beat the fire out of that meat with a cubing hammer. And the longer it's beat on, the more tender it gets. Somebody said, if you knew all I've been through, you'd understand why I'm hard as what I am. I'm going to tell you something. If you let God do in you what He wants to, how the beating of that cubing hammer would not make you hard, it makes you tender. Amen. You let God accomplish something in your life to bring glory and to bring honor unto Him. I mean, God wants to make us tender and to make us tender-hearted. Amen. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted. There's maybe nothing more important to a person's relationship with God and with others than this thing of being tender. You cannot be right with God and be hard-hearted. Psalm 51:17 said, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Psalm 34:18 said, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Friend, He only saves the tender-hearted. He only saves the broken-hearted. He only saves the humble man who cries out to Him. So long as you're hard-hearted, so long as you're resistant to the Holy Ghost, so long is you, my friend. Won't open your heart up to Jesus and to the gospel, you'll remain lost. You'll remain condemned. You'll remain on the road to hell. If you're going to be right with God, you must have a tender heart. By the way, that's the reason why we encourage our young people to get saved. The first time God deals with their hearts, because of freeing after time, people have a way of getting calloused, of getting hard-hearted against the Lord. Age and time and experiences cause them to get crusted over, and that Spirit of God that troubled them with guilt over their sin in their youth, that soft heart of trust and of faith gets hard, and then in later years it's hard for them to be broken, and God must take extreme measures to pound that heart and to make it soft again and tender again. But I tell you, God works with a tender heart.
Yes, He does.
Amen. We often see people and see and to have a mindset of people of having a tender heart as being people who are weak, but that's not so at all, friend. Tenderness and weakness are not the same thing. I thought about yesterday, and I'm glad they're back this morning and at the house of the Lord and come back from the trip and so forth. But I thought yesterday about Brother Randy. He's a man that I've always known to be tender-hearted, and I thank God for that. That's a blessing to me. Hard-hearted people won't never get nowhere with God. I mean, the Lord works with people that's tender-hearted. I appreciate that. One of the reasons why that I fell in love with my wife is because she's soft-hearted. She's tender-hearted. She feels sorry for everybody and will give away everything I've ever worked for so as to let them know how she feels about it. Sometimes I just wish she'd be tender-hearted to my wallet instead of to everything else. Amen. That she's tender-hearted. And to listen, friend, at times in my life, because I am firm on sin. And hear me now. There is no room for negotiation with the devil and with sin and with the world. That sometimes people misinterpret that for thinking that I'm hard or hard-hearted. That those that know me know that nothing could be further from the truth. I preach to them men with striped uniforms and drive 7 and 8 hours on Saturday, come in the middle of the night and then come back and preach on Sunday morning, not because I want to go blister them over the crimes that they've committed, but because my heart breaks for what sin has done in their lives. I tell you, friend, I got a heart for sinners. The Lord knows my heart and knows ain't nobody that I don't love. I love everybody. These folks that I don't like, and I even love them. And some people I don't want to be around, and I even love them. God will give you a heart of love. He'll tenderize your heart. He'll give you a heart for people and for sinners and for God. Oh, my friend. And the Apostle Paul closes out this chapter about Christian unity. Unity with Christ. Unity with one another. By reminding us of the importance of tenderness. Hardness of heart causes division. Tenderness engenders unity. You know why people can look at one another and say, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. I don't want to be around you. Because of the hardness of heart. A tender heart causes you to forgive folks. A tender heart causes you to love folks. A tender heart causes you to want to show that to people. Amen. And my friend, tenderness will bring us together. And hardness will drive us apart.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Notice that to have this tender heart God calls for, we will have to and need to let God have His way. Look at verse 30 of our chapter this morning. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. If you're to have this tenderness of heart that God, and this kindness, and this loving kindness, and this forgiving spirit that He calls for in verse 32, you'll have to let God have His way in your life. If you'll be hard against the Holy Spirit, soon you'll be hard against everyone and anyone. Amen. I mean, your hardness against the Holy Spirit will make of you a hard and calloused and bitter person. I used to think as a little boy, I used to think that the older you got, the sweeter you got. I mean, all the old folks that I knew were sweet folks. When I grew up and got to meet folks that didn't go to church, I realized I was wrong. Some of the meanest people in the world was old folks. You know what I learned was the case, Brother Jeff? People that live for Jesus, the longer they live, the sweeter they got. People that lived against God, the longer they live, the meaner they got. Amen. That's exactly right. I used to listen to Brother Lester roll off, preach on the radio all of my life growing up. And Brother Lester would sing that song, "Stay with Jesus, and He'll keep you sweet." Amen. Oh, that's right. I'm just letting God have His way in your life. It'll make you tender-hearted. The good Holy Ghost will help you to be self-hearted. Amen. If you're going to be tender, you'll have to let God have His way in verse 30. If you're to be tender, you'll have to let go of past experiences in verse 31. Let go of past experiences in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this verse tells of the results of holding on to some past experience of pain. You get bitter and angry and hard towards others and towards God. If you, my friend, you'll have division in your current relationships today because of carrying over bitterness that you're dragging around from your past experiences. If you're to be soft-hearted, you're going to have to let go of the sum of the experiences of the past. You don't understand how I have been hurt. And you're right, I probably don't. But I do understand if you're to be tender today, you're going to have to let go of that thing that's bothering you from the past. You're going to have to let God dig up that root of bitterness into your life. You're going to have to get past your anger and your wrath. You're going to have to quit talking so bad and so negative and so nasty about everybody you come in contact with, and put away that evil speaking. You're going to have to dig that malice out of your life and to toss these things out. If you're to be tender as God would desire for you to be tender, you'll have to let go of the experiences of the past.
I spoke this week. I spoke this week to some folks who are looking to fill their pulpit with a pastor. And they said, "You don't understand, preacher." Said, "Whoever comes in here to pastor," said, "he really can't do anything. And he's going to have to realize he can't do anything." And that's hard for preachers to realize. He's going to have to realize that he's basically got to just come in, shake hands and hug necks and tell people that he loves them and let folks heal because of all the bad experiences of the past. And I understand exactly what he meant. Agree with him. And if I was giving advice to anybody going to pastor there, I'd tell them the same thing. But I'm going to tell you something. In your life, it'll hurt you. It'll stunt you, your growth. It will destroy your family if you don't let go of those things that have happened in the past. I mean, it'll kill you. I can't tell you how many preachers that I know that used to be good pastors, used to be good men, used to be a blessing to folks, but they can't even preach to people anymore without getting in an evil and an angry spirit because they're mad about something that happened to them in the past. You've got to let go of the experiences of the past. If you're to be tender today, you can't hold on to that. I've seen pastors take the next church and spend the next 5 years chewing that church out about what the previous church did to them. Have you ever seen that kind of thing? I've seen it where the folks have come into work and they chew everything
them before they left the house. Well, it wasn't my fault they married a crazy person. Amen. No need them chewing me out. But that's the way folks do. Have you ever seen it where you come home from work, sir, ma'am, and you chew your family out because of what somebody else did while you were at work? You, if you're going to have tenderness today, you've got to put the past experiences behind you. You've got to let those things go. You've got to put aside the wrath and the anger and the malice and the evil speaking and the bitterness. It's got to be put away. If you're to be tender and to be kind, you're going to have to let go of past experiences. Somebody somewhere has disappointed you. I'm very sorry to hear about that. As some preacher somewhere didn't do right. I'm very sorry to hear about how things turned out. But don't hold me responsible for the sins of another. I'll have enough of my own to answer for without volunteering to answer for someone else's. Put those things of the past behind you. Put those experiences that have caused you consternation and about fear have caused you worry and have caused you bitterness. Let those things go so you can be tender today.
The truth of the matter is, if you're going to have a friendship, if you're going to have a marriage, if you're going to have a church, you're going to have to potentially expose yourself to being hurt again. I'm just scared, preacher, because I've been snake bit in the past. That's right. You know, if anybody that ever been snake bit was scared, they'd never walk across the yard again now, would they? Had locked themselves in the house. And by the way, that might not do you any good. When Sonia and I first got married, one morning she went in there to fill the bathtub up, and there's a big old snake in there in the bathtub. Amen. Oh, what you going to do? Not take a bath no more? Amen. I mean, somehow or another, you got to get past your past experiences. You got to get beyond that. My grandma went in one morning in the closet. I just stuck her foot in the shoe, felt something really cool in the end of it. It is a snake done caught up in the end of her shoe. What you going to do? Go barefooted from now on? If you're going to enjoy today's experiences, you've got to put the past experiences of yesterday behind you. You've got to let go of some of those things. Hey, friend, you can't be scared to walk into the barn because 10 years ago there was a bee that stung you in there. You can't be afraid to be friends with somebody because somebody disappointed you. Or because somebody intentionally hurts you. You can't be afraid to go into business and to conduct business and to go to work because at one time someone who worked with you or worked for you or was partner with you or did business with you didn't do you right. A friend, life is filled with experiences of pain and heartache and heartbreak and hurt. And if you're going to be tender for today, if you're going to enjoy today, if you're going to enjoy the relationship and the love of others today. Somebody said, well, I remember that pianist that ran off with of the choir director. Well, the pianist had played this morning and I did eat supper together last night, didn't we, Miss Jane? Amen. Along with a large crowd of folks. I remember when this happened and that happened. Maybe it'd do you some good to forget. Amen. Maybe it'd do you some good this morning to let God take away the sting of those things so you once more could love again. So you once more could have a relationship with people again and be tender toward folks once more. Amen. You got to let go of past experiences. You got to let God have His way. And then in verse 32, you got to let goodness come from your life. Be ye kind one to another. Ought to just learn how to be nice. I thought about in the book of 1 Samuel, whenever it was that Jonathan is working at the behest of his father Saul.
And they're in the middle of a very bitter battle. And they're in the middle of a very hard and harsh fight. And Jonathan comes leading the troops in through this bunch of woods, this little patch of woods there. And the Bible said there was honey dripping from the trees onto the ground. Amen. And Jonathan reached into the limb where some of those trees were with his staff. And he pulled out a hunk of honey out of the middle of all that. And he put it to his mouth and he enjoyed the sweetness. And it brightened his eyes, the Bible said. And in other words, it nourished him and it strengthened him. And it gave him the strength to fight in the battle. Oh, my friend, I thought about that this morning when Brother John is talking about the sweetness and the ointment and the scent and so forth. And some of the men said, now your daddy said that nobody's to eat a bite until we finish this battle. Nobody should do anything until we finish this battle. And in so many words, Jonathan said, my daddy's wrong. There's honey here. We're hungry. If we're going to fight, we're going to need some sweetness in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, for us, we ought to be like trees dripping with honey. Your life ought to have sweetness hanging on its limbs. I mean, when people come in contact with you, they ought to see the sweetness. They ought to experience the sweetness. They ought to know your joy. Amen. Your joy, your zeal, your happiness, and your relationship with Christ. It ought to drip off of your limbs. Amen. Other people ought to have their eyes brightened by it. I mean, just be kind to one another. Let the goodness of God come out of your life. I wonder, is the meanness of the devil coming out of you, or is the goodness of God coming out of your life? Amen. When people see you, do they see God oozing from your life? Do they see God's sweet spirit oozing from your limbs? Or do they see the meanness of the devil come flying out of you? I mean, one or the other is likely happening. And I want my life to ooze with the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. I want people to see God's work in my life. I want their eyes to be brightened just by a little time around where I am. I want to be kind to people. Be kind one to another. Amen. Let God work in your life for good. Let God's productivity show up in your life. Let the sweetness of Jesus come through you. God is glorified in our tenderness. Tender people. If I'm tender, I'll get hurt. Let me tell you something about tenderness. Tender people often are bruised, but they're seldom broken. You might want to write that down some or some other. Tender people are often bruised, but they're seldom broken. When the tornado comes through, that little tender blade of grass is quickly thrown over to one side. Quickly laid down in the field. Quickly turned over on its head. That strong and mighty oak is resistant to the wind. It blows hard, but that oak stands tall. It's not tender, it's stiff, it's strong. It looks powerful, and yet when the storm is done and the mighty oak has been uprooted and will die and will never recover, that little old tender blade of grass that got blown over to first wind that came through, when the sun shines again, it'll stand right back straight. When the sun shines again, it'll stand back up again. When the sun shines once more, it'll take the rain that fell in the middle of that wind, nourish its roots, turn green and grow. It's often bruised but seldom broken. I tell you, friend, you say, if I'm soft-hearted, I'm afraid I'll be hurt. You may well be bruised. How are you going to expose yourself to the possibility of being hurt? But friend, if you're tender as God is called for it here, you'll not be broken, for the Lord will restore you. There is a balm in Gilead for the bruises of our lives, and God will see to it that the sun will come up in the morning and every tear will be gone from our eyes. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, just because you're soft doesn't mean you're weak. But because you're soft, you may be bruised. That's seldom broken. Oh, thank God. Just be tender, and God will be pleased with your life. Tenderness. I
I want to say this morning, we need to learn to be tender to the hurt of others. To the pain that other folks have gone through. Be kind one to another.
Amen.
If you'll be like Jesus, you'll be tender to the pain of others. When Jesus saw a crowd come to Him while He's mourning the loss of His friend John the Baptist, we preached on last Sunday night after these things, the Bible said in one of the Gospels when He saw that crowd, He was moved with compassion. I wonder, friend, are you moved with compassion towards people? Are you kind? Are you touched by the hurting of others? Rather than having a harsh spirit toward the failure, the fall, and the feelings of others. And my friend, you'll be tender if you're like Jesus. Yes, see, Jesus even saw us in all our sin. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, He forgave us. He fell for us in the regret of our sin, rather than being angry at us in the guilt of our sin. Be tender, for you never know what other people are going through. Have a heart, friend, that can be touched. Be tender and hear His voice.
Amen.
Be tender toward the hurt of others.
Yes.
You don't really know what somebody else is going through.
Amen.
You might think you know, but you don't know. By the way, I learned a long time ago in the business that I'm in that I never tell people I know what you're going through, because you don't.
Amen.
I sometimes will say I understand what you must be going through. But I really don't know. I mean, how was I supposed to grab that fella, Brother John, at the funeral home a few weeks ago, whose boy had committed suicide? And how was I supposed to grab him and look him in the eyes and say, I'm praying for you and I know what you're going through? I don't know what he's going through. I don't know what he's going through. And if you've never been where he is, you don't know what he's going through either. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know what people's experiences in life are. You don't know what hurts and pains and circumstances are in people's life. It surprised you this morning if you knew what is going on in other people in the congregation across the aisle from you. I mean, you think, well, so-and-so, they didn't even seem like themselves this morning. So-and-so didn't even talk to me. Brother David kidded with me when I come by and shook his hand. He said, well, if you hadn't come shook my hand, I was fixing to leave. This morning. Hey, be surprised sometimes at the feelings that people have like that, though. He was just clowning, but sometimes people feel that way. So-and-so didn't even talk to me this morning. You ever thought they might have more stuff going on in their lives than what you could ever imagine? You might not even be able to understand or to fathom the pain that's digging through their heart, the stress that they're under, some situation they're facing that's got them just about to the breaking point, something that's bruised them deeply. I mean, don't have a hard heart towards them. How because somebody don't seem like themselves. I guess I'm half blind to it. My wife sometimes will say, how so-and-so said that they needed to talk to you about such and such. I'm the best worried about this. I don't even notice it. It's not that I don't care. It's just that when you act a little bit different than normal, I don't think nothing of it. Man, people's got problems in their lives. Sometimes you're not yourself. Sometimes things don't work out the way you think. Sometimes I walk in the door and I wonder how in the world am I supposed to stand back there and preach. I haven't got sense enough to walk the aisle this morning, let alone preach. But I try to be obedient and I try to preach. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know where your life is, where your heart is. I don't know what might be happening in your family, in your health, or in your finances. But I do know there's a God yonder in heaven. And I do know how to pray. And I do care about the pain that other folks are going through. And you may think nobody else notices, cares, or can do anything about it. But you're sitting in a congregation this morning of people that really do care where you are. And they will pray with you. And you haven't got to tell them everything that's personal and everything that's private in your life. And what all's happening, it ain't none of their business. But if you'll just ask them to pray with you, there's people this morning in this place that's tender-hearted, and they'll pray, and they'll ask God to help you, and He will, friend. And He will. Are you tender this morning to the hurt of others? I wonder if you're tender to hear the voice of the Lord. This morning, Brother John taught in Sunday school from the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, about that great love between the bride and the groom, and how that he was going away to prepare a place for her, and he would come again and receive her unto himself, that where he is, she could be also. And I'm convinced that John 14 refers to a lot to this thing of Song of Solomon and mirrors it. It's a sister passage, if you will, when the Lord Jesus says what he does. But in chapter 5 of the book of Song of Solomon, beginning in verse number 6, the Bible says the beloved came and he reached his hand through the door, calling unto her to come unto him. But she said, I sleep. And she said, I'm a dreaming and I'm asleep. And I was laid down on my bed and I heard his voice. By the way, she didn't say I heard his hand knocking. She said, I heard his voice knocking at the door. Amen. I wonder, are you tender to hear his voice when he's knocking? Hear me, sinner boy or girl. It'll not be his hand that knocks. It'll be his voice that knocks. It'll be Jesus speaking to your soul. I can't explain that. But when you experience it, you'll know what I'm talking about. His voice will come a knocking. She said, I heard his voice knocking. And as he reached his hand through the hole in the door, and my friend, but she slept through it. She slept through it. I've heard Bible commentators say he was running his hand through the hole of the door to try to find the latch on the inside to get his way in, but not so. Our Lord's not a thief and a robber. He wasn't trying to break in. Amen. That hole in the door would be there as somewhat of a peephole, a place to identify folks, a place where people could come. And if at night they were afraid to open the door, they could look out the little spot there and see if they recognize a person on the other side, so that they could open up unto them. And the Lord and my friend heard her husband reached his hand through that little hole, and he was trying to wave unto her. He called her name. He's trying to get her attention. Oh, friend, when she had risen from her sleep, he had withdrawn himself. She opened the door, but it was too late. And she listened for him, but she couldn't hear him anymore. Lord have mercy. And a friend, if she couldn't find him when she looked for him. Oh, how sad that people have had the chance. His voice has come knocking. His spirit has called to them. He's reached out his hand unto them. And yeah, my friend, because of delay, they said, tomorrow I'll serve him. Tomorrow I'll worship him. Tomorrow I'll live for him. Saved. And my friend, when they finally stood from their sleep and opened the door of their hearts, they found he had withdrawn himself. And they went searching, but they couldn't find him. They wanted him, but they couldn't get saved. They listened, but they could not hear him. How in calamity to fail her. And in chapter number 5, how we need to be tender to hear his voice. Don't let the time pass when he speaks to your soul. Be tender to hear his voice. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. Have to fellowship with him. You can't just worship anytime you decide to. It'll have to be in spirit and in truth. When his voice is knocking and saying, testify, pray, I'll raise your hand, shout, tell somebody about me. Don't let that pass you by. She was close enough. She was close enough that she smelled his perfume. She was close enough she could tell he'd been there. That she's far enough away she couldn't touch him. She's far enough away she couldn't hear him. She was far enough away she couldn't express her love for him. I tell you, friend, you may be ever so close at this morning, but if you wait too long, you'll be so far away. You feel him troubling your soul, telling you to pray. And you let that pass by and say, I'll pray tonight. I'll go tonight. I'll get saved next Sunday. You may get close enough to smell his perfume, and so far away that you die lost. Oh, my Lord. You may get close enough. He says, stand and testify. He says, worship me. He said, raise your hand and tell folks how you love me. And you say, tomorrow I'll do it. Next Sunday I will. After this song. And after this song, you really want to. But you can't. You open the door and you're close enough to smell the perfume. That's so far away you can't touch him anymore. So far away. You can't hear his voice. I tell you, friend, listen to me. It's a precious thing when the God of glory comes knocking on your door, has saved or lost. It's a precious thing when he visits you. It's a precious thing when he drips perfume off and down in your house. Amen. I mean, while he's speaking, be tender to the sound of hearing his voice. Be tender to hear his voice. And I'm finishing with this. Be tender to the hurt of others. Be tender to hear his voice. Be tender to honor his word. Jesus said in John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you have a tenderness toward the word of God, then honor the word. And if you have a tenderness to honor the word, I'm going to tell you something. You can't play with sin and enjoy it. You just can't. You can sin, but you can't play with it and enjoy it. It grieves your spirit. You know the reason why people play with sin and enjoy it? They've gotten hard towards this thing of honoring the Word of God. If you, friend, are saved by God's grace and have a tenderness toward honoring the Word of God, if you do sin, and when you do sin, it grieves your spirit. You can't be satisfied. You can't stand to live with yourself. I mean, it grieves your spirit when you know that you have sin in your life. You can't be satisfied knowing that your life dissatisfies Him. Amen. I mean, if you've got a tenderness toward honoring the Word of God, that old song, if it satisfies you, Lord, then it satisfies me. It's exactly the way you feel down in your heart. And you cannot be satisfied unless God's satisfied with you. I wonder, friend, are you tender-hearted or you hard-hearted? I mean, does preaching like this even prick you down within in the heart? Man of God preached to the blue in the face, his liver just about bust, and I sit on a pew and say, well, that is good. Go home and never even consider again either the message or the moving of the Holy Ghost that troubles your soul. Have you become so callous to God's working in your life that when I put my finger on top of whatever sin you have, you just shrug your shoulders and go about your way and it doesn't disturb you anymore? I tell you, if you were to be where God wants us to be, we'll let those things prick our hearts and we'll be moved and we'll act on them. Just me? It's not in the Bible. It's just the way I think about things. I'm concerned about people that I never see come to the altar. I know that sometimes people are not able to get down in the altar. Maybe getting down is not the problem, but getting back up. I understand that. But I see some that will come down and ease down this way, and they know that. So they'll either come sit down on the edge of this mourner's bench or on the front row there. And I understand that maybe that's no different in that pew than what it is in your own. There's just something about being tender enough to feel God draw you near to pray and to not be ashamed to pray right in front of everybody. I wonder when you hear preaching like this, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I hear preaching like this and I'm sitting on the pew and I'm thinking that man of God ain't never going to quit so I can go pray. I'm thinking the altar call's never going to come. I mean, it seems like it just mashes my heart the whole time the preaching goes on and I just got to do something about what he's preached to my soul. I wonder, do you feel a pressing on your heart to act whenever the Word of God's preached to you? Do you have tenderness to honor the Word of God? Do you really want to live for Jesus more than anything in the world? If you do, it'll show up in your life. Tenderness. Tenderness. I preach a lot of places. Go here and there. I see people that I preach and I get 5 minutes in and they're falling apart. I see people that I preach for an hour and they sit there and stare at me and walk out the door and don't give a rip. Now, I'm going to tell you something. So long as what we're hard and we don't care, God's not going to do anything in our lives. But if you really want God to help you, if you really want God to work in your life, if you really want God to do something in your life, He's ready, willing, and able if you'll let Him. But you're going to have to be tender. You're going to have to be tender. I'm finished preaching. We must be tender toward God and toward one another. Jesus said, or the Scripture said in this verse, forgiven one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We know God is tender toward us. God's not hard-hearted towards us, and He's got every right in the world to be. This verse says that we're following Christ and keeping this command of being tender. Hebrews 4:15 said, we had not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Did you know He's touched by our pains? He experiences when you hurt, He hurts with you. He rejoices with them that do rejoice and weeps with them that weeps. Amen. That's what we're to do. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's tender toward us. If you need Him, if you need His help, if you need His touch, to make you tender, call on Him today. And He'll touch you, touch your line, make you more like Jesus. When He does, you'll have tenderness in your heart. I wonder, is there anything you need to pray about? Something you need to cast at the feet of Jesus? Maybe just need to come and ask Him to get that tenderizing hammer out. Work on your life and make you soft. May not be pleasant, but it'll be good for you. Let Him teach you how to be soft. I wonder, do you need to pray? Stand to your feet if you're not saved this morning. Be tender to His voice. Don't waste a moment. If you're not saved, don't wait for some other saint to come pray. They're coming, I'm sure. But don't wait for them. Get in this altar and do business with God. If you're lost, be sure you get saved today. Stay here till you do business with God. Don't leave till you know you're saved. God's dealing with your heart. Be soft. Be tender. Let Him work in you this morning. Tenderness is not weakness. It's just sensitivity to God. Do you need to pray? Others across the house this morning praying. Some of them might even be praying for you if you're here lost. With God. If the good God of glory is touching your heart this morning, be tender and let Him deal with you. Let Him work on you. Let Him make your heart soft. Amen. Amen. While on others our calling, deal with those that need to come. Oh Lord, have mercy. Amen. Sing on. Oh yes. Thank you.
Christ. Oh, may God help us to be tender. Somebody said there'll be another day, there'll be another time. I'll wait till I'm older. You may miss Him. You may miss Him just a very little bit. But if you miss Him at all, then you've missed Him altogether.
While He's dealing with your heart, you better do business with God. We're going to sing one more verse this morning. Somebody needs to pray. Would you come? I very, very seldom extend an invitation, but this morning I feel like I need to do that. We're going to sing one more verse. If you need to come, do business with God. Sinner, we're singing for you this morning. Amen. Sing. If you need to talk to the Lord, if you need to get it right with God, what the Lord's laid on my heart to do. I wonder if you obeyed God this morning. Done what the good Holy Ghost have you to do in this meeting today.
I like to say I love the Lord, Bob Toby. You know, it ain't always, always that tender heart. I told Brother Nick back there in Sunday school last Sunday morning, I told him, I said, I wish I could put my life on a DVD and put it on a screen and put it up there and show you my life. Show you what not to do.
Amen.
This thing that I've made. Oh, I can't help it. I have a tender heart. I'm tired. I wish I could cry some time. I pray God, thank God, He give me a tender
heart. Amen, brother.
Praise God.
You know, it's been a while since I've been to North Carolina seeing my son. We walked down to the waterway. We came back on the sidewalk. This lady just didn't know what the matter was. She had to come out there. She didn't pour her arm out to them. What? He said, "Oh, y'all pray for me."
Amen.
He didn't know what better play I was getting. He had to pray for her.
Amen.
God. I told her I said we would. Thank God for what He did in my life.
Amen. Amen.
The first time in my life, you couldn't get a tear out of my eyes. My heart was so hard. It was so just being dry. You couldn't be hesitant. You couldn't get a tear out of my
eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll make you soft. Amen. Amen. Klein Brock told me it had been 50 years before he got saved. He said it had been 50 years since I cried. And he said all I've done, he'd been saved about a year, year and a half at that point. He said all I've done the past year and a half is just cry. And he started boo-hooing in. He said, I can't do nothing. He said, I can't sit down to eat. He said, I sit down to eat and start to say the blessing. And I think, Lord, I wouldn't have a bean on the table if it wasn't for you. And he said, I just bust down squall. He said, everything I do, everywhere I go, I said, folks just think I'm a big cry baby. He said, the Lord's just made me so soft. I'll tell you, God will do that to you, friend. He'll take out that old stony heart and put in a new heart of flesh and of love. Amen. He knows how to do that. I'm glad He does. Amen. He can make you soft this morning. Well, we'll meet tonight.